services, Lavazzi at boo1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 319, not 219. 319. I'm Adam, and oh my word, and here's Debbie Melrose.
I want all section commanders on the bridge at 2000 hours, sector 4 solar time. Resume normal duties until then.
Sorry about the recital of the whole script there, listeners. I wonder if there's anything left for Andy Nanny.
The last of me nutty sliced bread.
Mary Lang.
Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue.
And Burby Cartlett Sloan.
Jumping galactic gobstoppers, why didn't you tell me it was alive? My fingers!
Yes, and today we're doing our last reconstruction. Hang on, that deserves... Hang on, that deserves one of these. If I can find my priority jingle folder, here we are. I'll do that line again. Today we're going to be doing our last reconstruction. Hang on, where is it? I still can't find it. Hang on, not yet. Whoa. Where is it? Is there somewhere? Yeah, live podcasting, Nick. Listeners. Live podcasting. Where is it? Oh, there it is. No, let's do the problem. Today we're going to be doing our last reconstruction.
Hooray!
Oh, it's not working. Oh, it is now.
There we go. We are a slick operation.
Oh, hey.
It is worth celebrating.
Gotta get the fireworks in. Oh, yeah, the last two episodes of this one, I didn't even bother looking at the darn screen.
Hang on.
Yeah, just nod off.
Pardon me. Right. Yes. Debbie Melrose will help me go through these episodes in regards to synopsis. If she starts going a bit too slow on the synopsis, I will be reminding her that I do like the idea of going to bed at some point tonight.
Hopefully 10 o'clock.
No, well, maybe.
I can give you a synopsis.
No, I don't want that. Bear in mind, your notes are very extensive. I would rather have something a bit more concise in regards to this.
A bit more concise
topic.
Than me, yeah. Going...
Oh, stop it. Naughty Debbie. Naughty Debbie.
I just want to... I'm pretty naive about these things, these episodes and things.
That's not a synopsis. You're starting to give me
No, I'm just saying, I didn't find episode 2. That's normal, isn't it?
Hey?
Yeah, that's the normal one.
Yeah, that's not...
That's a strange thing. I didn't find episode 2, that's normal, is it? That's a strange thing to say, but yes, okay, yes.
It is story, that is normal, because, you know, I had conflicting reports about it there. Someone had got it, someone hadn't got it, you know, that sort of thing. And then I ended up just watching that place that we do not name, and I couldn't find it there either.
Place
so.
That we do not name?
Hey,
listen. Oh, that.
I'm sure that Adam...
They're talking about the place you must not name, but for Mary's benefit, there it is, up on my pooter screen. There we go, you can see it. Yes, you can see it, there it is.
So
it's been flipped, so you can't really read it.
You didn't see one episode, which is actually...
Oh, phone's ringing.
Yes.
Who's that on the phone? Hello?
Huh?
Well, I've got to tell you a few stories. Before we get on with the episode, because I'm sure you've had very interesting lives over the last couple of weeks since we last got together to do podcasting. A few weeks ago, I'd filmed a wedding, actually. It was about 6 weeks ago, actually. And when I film weddings, we take the memory cards out of the cameras, 4 cameras, and put them in your bag. And then it gets saved until we upload it to the computer. Well, I upload it and edit it. But unfortunately... on this particular wedding, I put it in a box. This box, to be precise. See? Little box. Normally they go in little bags.
I don't see.
I don't care. Little box. See? Little box containing SD cards. Those SD cards contain video footage. This occasion, I put it in one of these. And I got this from a photography colleague of mine who returns memory cards to me. And when it came to prepping the cameras for the next day's wedding, I thought, oh, good, 2 blank memory cards. I'll just format them and stuck them in the camera. Formatted them all. There was 4 of them, actually. I don't know why I got confused. Formatted them all. Uh-oh. Deleted the whole wedding.
Yes.
Oh no.
So, I have been spending the last few weeks recovering all the footage, which has now come out in little tiny little snippets rather than a full length whatever, and editing it, and all slightly corrupted and things like that, into a full length movie. This has taken four times longer than it normally takes, and it normally takes about a week to edit a film, about 2 to 3 hours long. And Deb keeps on saying, and she knows about the cock up, ask me why I'm still doing the wedding. She's very well pointing cameras at things and filming them, but she doesn't understand the concept of editing. Fortunately, my skills in podcast editing, when I used to do podcast editing, because I don't do much of it now because we're so professional, we just do it off the cuff and have it.
Yes, we do. We just rip right through it.
But in the days I used to have to do editing, I was able. I now have to use those skills in to restore the audio for this particular production. It's taken a blimmin' age.
Yeah, you'll probably edit the episode 400.
Why?
Because you'll do a special thing for 400.
Oh, will I? Will we get to 400? Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Anyway, but today, this will impress my lovely little Debbie Melrose, I think. Anyway, we were in the shop, and this customer came up, I think that's Eddie Izzard over there. And I looked up at the thing. The bloke with the white cap on.
It blooming well was.
And it blooming well was. I got my picture date. I went up to him and said, oh, can I have trouble for a picture? He said, yeah, all right, as long as I take it. So he took the picture, and I got my picture taken with his ears on in the shop.
You lucky thing! He walked past the shop, and I couldn't leave because I was key holder, so I couldn't run out into the street going, I love you!
Now, was he wearing his extremely high stilettos like he was today? He was wearing
ridiculously. Did you post that picture online?
No, I was working. I'm not really supposed to take pictures of myself with celebrities in the shop while I'm working, so I'll keep that on the phone for a little while.
There's a fair few celebrities in cows at the moment because of the filming.
They're filming, they're a sequel to, what was the original for? Mrs. Brown, wasn't it?
They're filming the sequel to that, and Judy Dench has been shopping in cows as well.
I've heard she's been in cows, I haven't seen her, but yeah, they're filming at Osborne, and he said they're currently filming. He's doing a charity show in Shanklin Theatre.
Yes, I know. I went to look at see if I could do something for mine and Tom's anniversary because I thought Eddie Izzard would be perfect.
But the best thing about this story is that in the morning, I didn't know about the show until Sarah, our cleaner, came up and said, oh, I managed to get tickets for her. I'm absolutely delighted. And of course, she wasn't there when he actually walked into the shop, so I took the picture and sent it straight to her. So
you're going to see a show, but I got this. Yeah.
Anyway, but if she waits backstage, I suppose she could always meet him and stuff. But that was quite a thrill. Because the other week, Sam and Mark, they won't, you Americans won't know who Sam and Mark is. In fact, I don't think Debbie knows who Sam and Mark are.
No, I don't know who Sam and Mark
kids, are. Kids presenters on CBBC or something like that, some children's channel. They used to be on a program called Pop Idol 2. Anyway, they're presenters now, and Isabella loves them, and they came in the shop with their girlfriends a couple of weeks ago. But I didn't get an opportunity to get a picture, but it would have been great to show off to Isabella. Right, let's move on to Doctor Who. What?
Shares back.
Sometimes, and some people might think that's a good thing. I want to sort of give a shout out to the people actually watching us at the moment. Ian Kirk says, I was beginning to think you had postponed the recording until tomorrow, which is talk like a pirate day.
Yeah.
Ashley Hughes says, hey, everyone.
Yeah, I have a dermatologist appointment tomorrow. I was wondering if I should go in there and go, arr.
And Alan T. Butcher says, professionalism personified. See, some people are getting the right idea here. We're going to start talking about Doctor Who now.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to talk about the second episode then, because I've obviously...
Did not watch the second episode. Hello? Nobody there?
They said they didn't watch it because they couldn't find it, remember?
Oh, that was donuts.
Hey, just Debbie. I found it.
Oh,
yeah,
I got it.
There you go. Get Barry to do this.
Get Barry. Barry.
Yes.
So something, I thought there was something like they called Berry, not Mary. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, Mary Berry.
Mary Berry.
Yeah, so it starts with a couple of dodgy characters turning up in some spaceship. Basically,
not a spaceship, it's a beacon.
It's a beacon, yeah. And they split it apart, as I mean, silly.
Yeah, it's supposed to split into, is it 8 pieces?
8 pieces, yeah.
I don't quite know the significance and the reason for this particular feature. But
yes, there will be later, yes.
Okay, the thing is, you know, you've got Cavan and, I can't remember the guy's name. There was two unnamed crew members of the pirate crew.
But they did mention the name later on.
No, of Cavern's Oppo. The yeah. engineer, but the other two didn't get names, did they? I just wonder if they've been filmed in colour, would they be red suits?
Stop talking over Andy's gags.
They do mention one of the names.
Yeah, but point is, I wonder if they had red coats, red shirts on. If they simply were there to be. Yeah.
Well, a lot of these
cannon fodder.
Characters are there for that. And anyway, so we meet a few. I'll tell you that bloke. What's his name again? I can't remember his name. The commander.
Very, very deep voice. Very posh.
Oh, the writer from.
Do you know who I thought he was initially? I thought he was the one who ended up playing the Black Guardian because his voice was very, very deep.
Oh, Valentine Dial.
Yeah, but it's not him.
Restaurant at the end of the.
I was about to say that.
He's what?
Got it in.
Excellent. Well done, Debbie. That's Debbie. Whoa! I just knocked my. Oh damn! I just knocked me thingy off because I was grabbing my bell. Hang on. Yeah, so am I still connected? I am. All right. So let's go back. Oh dear, I've lost me. Oh dear, hang on. How do we... Oh, there we are. I'm back
everything?
Now.
He's been in a lot of things.
Debbie.
Yes.
For getting one in on Kirby. Oh, bugger. What's it? What's it not being dinged properly?
I hope not.
Oh, there we go. I'm not allowed to do that to me too many times tonight, otherwise she who must be obeyed will creep downstairs and...
Oh, well, then I won't answer any questions then.
Well, maybe later.
I've started renting from Netflix Rumpole the Bailey, because it's been so long.
Was he in that?
No. That's where She Who Must Be Obeyed comes from.
Okay, shush. Anyway, right. So this is a very posh character. They obviously straight away we find that we got the onside people who we're supposed to be onside with, which is the Starfleet.
Space Corps.
Yeah, essentially Starfleet. Because it's very influenced.
And they get the Star Trekky music, don't they?
Excuse me. Can I get it in? It's very influenced by Star Trek, this particular episode, especially they've got a bridge, they've got a spaceship, they've got weird uniforms.
They've got a bridge on a bridge.
The only thing they haven't got is a transporter, isn't it? Maybe they would have got sued, I don't know. Even they've already had Transmat in the series.
Yes, that was, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know, very heavily influenced.
He's got a great hairdo, though, hasn't he?
Whereabouts is this set? I mean, I can't
remember. It's probably one of the studios and BBC Studios, BBC Television Centre.
When?
They don't actually hint at what
it
is, do they?
It's in the 22nd century.
Is it? Oh, well.
No, they didn't. I'm making it up.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Anyway, he did have a really good hair. I'll tell you who, you know, the character...
Is that like Duck Dodgers in the 22nd and a half Dodgers. Century?
Duck Dodgers! Yeah.
Anyway, the chap who plays, it was later in a John Pertwee story, which was, I think, the one that was also with Elizabeth Slade and then the Ice Warriors. I can't remember which one it was.
Laddin one.
Yeah, the second Peloton story, he was in that. But I always thought that he looked like Tom Baker, actually. Got the same sort of features as Tom Baker, but I can't remember what character he played. Warn, that's it, Warn.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it Warn?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it did get a bit worn in the end.
Yes, slightly.
So what I did like was the design of the spaceships.
Yeah, the models were superb, and they really were.
Very
put me in mind of Captain Scarlet, because I guess that would have been filmed probably just before, because Captain Scarlet was 1968.
Oh, was it? I thought it was a bit earlier than that.
No, 68. I think 68 was Captain Scarlet. This movie filmed in 69.
One of Cabin's men is called Muller.
Thank you for that, Debbie. Really interesting bit of information there. And just what I thought was even more interesting, if we started playing the song I Am the Walrus, it's a song by the Beatles, by the way. Is it? How does it go? If we started playing that song, Kirby's little bit of audio there would fit it into some of the audio at the end of I Am the Walrus. Quite nicely.
Kirby's moustache looks a bit
Paul. No, that's Strawberry Fields Forever, isn't it? Right, so moving on. Yeah, I'm trying to gloss over episode one, which is essentially... Oh, yeah, the Doctor and Jamie and Zoe arrive.
Yeah, they
arrive.
Come in really late in episode.
Yeah, they don't show up until near the end.
That's right.
14 minutes in, something like that. Anyway, you can hear me. I don't know if you can hear me at the moment.
I mean, we can hear at the moment. Anyway, but yeah, so they arrive, unfortunately for them.
I love the fact Jamie's really on a downer throughout most of this one.
In one of the segments that's just about to get separated by, I suppose we'd have to call them pirates, because the pirates are
someone at the door.
Up to no good. Oh, somebody at the door. There's somebody at the door. There's somebody at the door.
Strange man.
Oh, I've frozen on my computer.
Oh, don't start singing that again for goodness sake.
Sing what? Frozen?
Yeah, any song from Frozen.
Let it go. Let it go. God. I don't want to hear it anymore.
I've got a couple of mates and they're really into their... They love their Disney. They're already watching Christmas Disney, so I said, God, awful.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, I've always said, come with Zach, you know, blimey.
It's all right, it was just my neighbour returning the bottle opener.
That's very nice. Are they alcoholics?
At this time of night?
She'll forget otherwise.
Obviously, they've given up alcoholism tonight, so that's why they've given their bottle opener.
Stop opening bottles, poor Rochelle.
So, yeah, they at the end of the episode, they're going to blow up the thingy where the Doctor Jacob, and they do, and of course...
I think it's the word you want.
Well, to be honest, because I didn't watch episode two, I don't think I actually missed that much.
I've got episode two is actually on Dailymotion. I don't want to...
It is.
What's the problem?
It for some reason.
I watched it on the vid off DVD, but episode two is on there.
Channel that will not be mentioned.
It's on one of the DVDs, the Lost in Time DVDs, I believe.
Yes. So yeah, episode two. They don't get killed, obviously. Just get sort of separated in a little box that essentially is running out of air.
The TARDIS.
Yeah, there's running out of air, and they've got the TARDIS.
The oxygen when we hit episode
two. Yes, Kirby.
Did you notice when the general and the major are talking with each other in
general
front of all
rules
those...
and majors? They're never too far. Sorry, that's a song by XTC.
And they're drinking coffee. They're drinking coffee.
They are.
The general. Well, I think it's coffee. Anyway, the general goes over, he takes a cup,
yes,
and put it under a spigot, and nothing comes out of the spigot. And then a couple of scenes later, he's got a full cup.
Oh, how interesting. Okay, I never noticed that. Never really wanted to.
Pouring out of a thing, that, you know, into a cup and nothing comes out and they still drink from it.
Yeah.
Although that is called acting.
Yes, I really wasn't particularly bothered by that, to be fair.
The camera was so close.
Not bothered. Anyway, what I was quite interested in was the TV sets that they were using as monitors. I thought they were quite interesting. So many knobs on them. God, I mean,
yeah, you would think by that time they would have gone to flat screen, since we all have.
Yes, Kirby. Some of I did actually use those sort of screens in Doctor Who. You know, these big CSO type screens. So I'm surprised they bothered using TV sets when they'd already used something a bit more flash in Doctor Who.
Well, the big screen.
Nice one, Deb.
The big screen on the bridge is a flat screen.
It is, but that's because they're ripping off Star Trek.
ripping off Star Trek, yes.
Right, yeah, so happy birthday, Star Trek, by the way. More comments have come through on the thread. Oh, no, they haven't. Sorry. Oh, no, it's Ashley Hughes saying I'm playing with my bell again.
Oh, Lord.
Quit playing with your bell.
So, yeah, I was trying to talk about the story, actually. I was going to say something about the story, but unfortunately you put me wrong. Oh, yes, the fact that the Doctor and Jamie and Zoe are suffocating, and the Doctor thinks, oh, I know how to get them back together again. We'll use some sort of thing that will draw us to the next thing, and he switches the wrong switch and repels them even further away. And sort of semi-blames Zoe for putting him off what he was doing, if I remember rightly.
Yeah. And we also meet Milo.
I will say what sort of accent was that? What was that accent supposed to be? I couldn't work it out.
It's Yorkshire come American come Midwest.
I'm sure it's South African at one point in time as well.
It was really weird.
Yeah.
W.C. Fields.
Yeah.
But it didn't sound like anything like that. It sounded stupid.
Foghorn.
It was very distinctive, Foghorn. And it was certainly, you know, isolated to him. But
I say.
Yeah, you could not, you know, say that as an accent of this particular thing. So maybe it was a special interplanetary accent. I don't know. But yeah, great character.
They speak like that on Lobos. Yeah.
Great character. Interesting hairdo.
Mm-hmm.
And Tash, I suppose that the moustache would have been of a particular interest to you, Kirby, being obviously a moustache wearer. I thought his interest, his opening scene was quite amusing, where he's trying to have his breakfast and he kept on getting interrupted by various things. I think he could have changed his shirt. So I reckon the shirt that's got a bit of a Monty Python influence. No, it hasn't, because it's before Monty Python.
And he was also doing a... what's the name of the character? He was doing a Fonzie to fix things way before Fonzie existed.
Oh, whacking it with a hammer, yes.
Whacking it with a hammer, with a spanner,
adjustment tool.
Doing a Han Solo. Yeah.
Yeah. There's actually a thing that's known. It's the Brummy toolbox, which contains a hammer and a condom. If you can't hit it, it's...
Yeah, I see. I've noticed that the writers and producers of Doctor Who in this era were particularly fascinated by the idea of rockets, because the rockets seem to appear in any sort of futuristic stories that they had at the time.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it would have been quite innovative to come up with some different idea of space travel, but obviously at that time it was all the NASA stuff going on, wasn't it?
So as,
it was all
in the news. Someone pointed out a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, things are very close to each other in these star systems.
Yes.
You can travel
with a rocket.
With rockets in like 3 hours.
Yeah, well, that's one thing that Star Trek did sort of, think of at the same. Bear in mind, it's at the same time, the fact that they would have to create some sort of fictional thing to enable them to travel these vast distances, and they did that one. Gene Roddenberry created that idea, and it works really well. And so it does work very well. And some of it has been thought to be true, the idea of warping space and stuff like that. So, but not with Doctor Who, unfortunately, not until much later. But they were having their fun with their rockets and stuff, but they never even dreamed that Americans would be watching these episodes, so I don't think they were that bothered at the time. So they basically, we have an episode of, what would you call it, claustrophobic sort of thing with Jamie, Zoe and the Doctor trapped and can't really get out, while we just watch what the Space Corps trying to find Clancy. And
I was just going to say, from what I could glean, having obviously been stupid and not watched episode 2, all I could glean was that they'd gone and found Madeline Isigri, and that they were after Clancy, and that the Doctor, Jamie and Zoe were running out of oxygen.
Yeah, that's basically
it. Is that all that really
Master.
Happened?
Yes.
Was for Madeline, was that supposed to be a hat, or she had
I got very distracted by this particular garment, because especially from the rear view it looked like some sort of cleavage, and I was trying to work out where they got the stupid idea from.
If you look at the Egyptian hats, crowns and things, it's just like one that you'd see on some of the artwork there, on the hieroglyphics and things like that, and it looks like something Nefertiti would be pictured in or something. It looked like an Egyptian crown, basically, that she was
wearing.
She's
just the only one wearing it, because there's another woman that comes into shot.
It just looks like a huge bald cap. That doesn't look right.
I think it's just the stylized
hair. Her secretary's wearing one, isn't it?
I believe that was supposed to be like a part or something in the hair.
Yeah, it is, It's silly, isn't it? But very distinctive.
But it's very woo-woo futuristic looking.
I suppose it does, actually. I would give them that. It does look futuristic, and it is original. And I'll never do it again, because it did look so daft. Meanwhile, they do send Warren out.
Oh, there's other weird hairstyles coming up in the future.
I did like that there was a seat, a futuristic sort of spinning seat in some of the scenes, which looked like somebody smiling, or Mick Jagger's lips sort of smiling in the background. I thought it was quite funny. Anyway, they're suffocating on this little sort of thing, and the Doctor uses an oxygen cylinder just to keep them going long enough for Clancy to come on and shoot Jamie.
The Doctor doesn't need it as much as Jamie and Zoe either.
No, because why would that be? As we're going to find out in the next story. He's not pregnant. No, he's not human, dear.
I know, I said he's not human.
Human
sound like pregnant?
No, I'm joking with you.
Half human, isn't he? On the other side.
Joking with you, dear Debbie. I do love the above Clancy's sort of TV view screen is the great big letters saying call. when something's
yeah. behind him, and he still notices it.
Yeah, so
poor old Jamie gets basic.
So the Clancy then takes the TARDIS crew over them while showing a few of his fancy little gadgets that he's got for having dinner and breakfast and cups of tea and whatever. It's not a lot really going on here. Someone just skipping forward. But again, all we do get to see some, like we said with Andy, the little model spaceships are really, really
good. They are, yeah.
I like the minnows. I think they're quite cute.
Cracking. Yeah. I love them. They look a little bit like...
The minnow would be lost.
And the bit when the dart goes into the nose.
They look like little gnats, don't they? Little mosquitoes, in a way, I suppose you call them. And they're little protuberances on the front. Right. I've done really well here, Debbie. I look like the little stripy front that's supposed to signify a pirate ship, isn't it?
Oh, the nose coat.
Yeah. No, they're supposed to signify an Isigri freighter.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it, yes. Right, I'm going to let Debbie carry on here, because I know we are. If you go too slow, I'm going to come jump in and say, speed up, woman. But yes.
Well, okay, carry on.
We're halfway through episode 3. I'm going to get a drink, so I'm really thirsty.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm having a hot flush, so I'm going to use my wife's hot flush fan.
I think about
my wife here. It's my wife's hot flush fan. Here it is. That's it. And it does that. And I can do this. Isn't it noisy?
Shaving.
Pardon?
Sounds like you're shaving.
It is noisy. But I have got my razor upstairs. But anyway, I'm going to get a drink. You carry on, Debbie.
So, meanwhile...
Too slow.
Cavan has decided to frame Clancy for the theft of the... Argonite, and is sending bits of the beacon, which include the TARDIS, to orbit around Lobos, which is where Clancy's base is.
Includes the TARDIS. Well, you simply say, why'd you leave off the definitive article?
Oh dear.
Oh, we don't understand.
You can't
say. I used to say just TARDIS back in the early years, but the TARDIS.
I did say the TARDIS.
No, I just heard.
Well, just as badly as you're coming through, you're hearing everything she's saying.
Which includes the TARDIS, I would have said. I would never have just said TARDIS. And meanwhile...
We go back, Alan.
You've got the general who's down on TAR, and it's quite funny that after... I noticed that he said in the first episode that he wants, if your base is around TAR for a couple of weeks, because the crew are going to need rest and relax, you know, rest and recreation. And then the next episode, he's basically sending people to stay on, you know, the next sentence almost, sending people to stay on the base for 2 months at a time on little beacons, which have got minimal life support. So he's gone from one extreme to the other, just because
he talks about TAR being a place where they can, you know, do rest and recreation.
Are we still on the same spot of episode 3? Or we'll be getting cross.
It's so poisonous. Nobody lives on the surface, and all that's down below are these tunnels. So it's like, where
rest and recreation there? Apparently.
I did think, can I interrupt, please? I did think
Kirby
that one... Can I interrupt? Hello? Hello? Can I interrupt?
Hello.
I don't know which character it was, whether it was Dervish or something like that. He had a tash.
Dervish.
He looked a bit like Walt Disney.
Did he?
To me, he did, yes. Carry on.
No, he
does. Yes, he does.
I'd basically said, Adam, that we got to the point where the TARDIS was orbiting Lobos. And
I was hoping we would get to episode 6 by now.
Kirby decided to tell me off for not saying the TARDIS, even though I said the TARDIS. He said that I only said TARDIS, so he decided to tell me off in share. So that's as far as we got. So okay, you may
come on, get a blimmin' move on. God's sake.
See, I couldn't get far. I tried to get far, but I couldn't.
Come on.
All right, okay.
What?
Right. And down on TAR, the general's about...
Shut up, Kirby. Can't understand what you're saying anyway.
The general's down on TAR and he spots that Madeline's got a model of a dart ship. And he asks how much they cost and the fact that the pirates have got one. She's like, oh, have they? And that's the first time, real time, that people go, oh, she might not do that. Okay. They're sort of spoon-feeding you the plot here.
Yeah.
And then you've got Zoe has worked out that the beacon pieces were originally heading to TAR. So that's when they have headed back to TAR because Clancy wants to hide right under their noses.
Yes.
they he tells them, don't wander off for your own safety. Zoe decides to, and Jamie say they don't trust Clancy, and for the first time in ages, the Doctor decides to go with them to have a look around, and then they get stuck in the, what do they call it, the punishment cell.
Yeah.
So it will go down to, after watching, having found the fact that the Beacon Alpha 4 is being, bits of it are being cut up in the caves. And part four opens with them, the Doctor basically basically peeing everybody off by trying to work out how
to... Are we still on episode three? I hope not, because I'm going to get very cross.
No, we're on episode four. She's on four.
Yeah.
That's all right, then.
I'm talking about when everybody gets a bit peeved with the Doctor in the cell because he's trying to find the right sound.
Yes. What did Jamie do? Because I missed that bit.
Jamie snatches it off him and goes, oh, I've had enough of this, and throws it on the floor and gets the right tone.
But what exactly was it that was the right tone?
It was a tuning fork to get the right tone for the audio lock.
Yeah, the Doctor has a whole set of tuning forks.
Yeah, he's got loads of them. He's trying them all, and it's really irritating Zoe, Sorber, and especially Jamie, because they find Sorber in the cell.
Drawing pins that he falls on.
Yeah, Doctor finds a bowl of water. They work out basically there's another way in because it's a delicate bowl, and how could that just get lodged down the chute, basically.
Flip, page. Sound effect.
Click. Dervish is meanwhile sort of trying to rebel a bit against Cavan. So Cavan's basically holding him hostage because he's put a bomb basically under
the
drives of the dart to the Buccaneer.
Was it a bomb?
A beam. Yes.
Not a bomb.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
We mean a bomb.
But they basically want to frame Clancy, and they're still, you know, Cavan seems to have all these little fingers in all sorts of pies. And but Dervish finds out that there's only 7 sections of Beacon 4, and there should be 8. And that's when they work out someone must have been on it and engineered it out of its flight path, and they go on about whether or not it's competition.
Are we still in episode 4?
Yes.
I'm trying to catch up to where you are.
All right, okay. Basically, the V-ship catches up with the with Dervish's...
Are they stuck in the... this is the bit past where they get the door of the cave thing open.
Yeah.
Oh, we're past that bit. Are we? Carry on then.
Yeah. They're just about to. This is the bit where I'm up to. Milo Clancy's on the other side of the door. You've got the... basically, the Asigri freighter... the nose cone is now on the pirate ship. That worked. Milo doesn't shoot the guard that comes to see them, and he basically goes and reports to Cavan that they've escaped. They go to a Asigri headquarters, but they're not sure Madeline is behind it. Jamie decides to defend them, but he's got no recharge unit for his gun, and so Doctor rigs up something with a electric trip line.
Actually, it's quite bloodthirsty with the Doctor and Jamie both killing people, which is unusual for both of them, really, isn't it?
A very good point, Andy. You get one of these. Oh, bugger.
Way!
Why is this not bloody working properly? Someone's been fiddling with my belt.
All right.
They get to Madeline's office, and she just doesn't believe them, and then Cavan comes in and shoots Sorber. And now we're on part 5.
Oh, part 5, right, yes, hang on. Where's part 5?
There.
I can't find part 5.
It's right there.
I'll be quiet. carry on.
Jamie wants to attack the guards desperately, but he actually listens when they tell him not to be stupid. And then they get locked away in what basically is John Massigri, who's supposed to be dead, his office.
He's let himself go a bit, though, isn't he? Come on.
No, he's basically a doddery old man who's been in prison there for, what was it, about 13 years? It worked out, something like that.
Where did he get his food from, and where did he go to the toilet?
Exactly. I was a bit wondering what the smell was like in there, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
But apparently, he's been there for that long because Cavan's kept him alive because he might need leverage with them.
He's got a chemical toilet, probably.
Thank you, Kirby.
I wonder if he ever had a change of clothes.
I like the fact that there was no electrics in there.
Yeah.
He just hewn it out of the rock.
And Zoe doesn't know what a candle is.
The
actor that played him, there's something very familiar about him. His face is familiar. I couldn't quite put my finger on where I'd seen it since or before.
Maybe he just used the same beard as some of them, and wizened old man look that we
no,
had.
No, just something about his face. Yeah, there's a picture of him on the mantelpiece, but without his long hair.
On these reconstructed episodes, it was hard to get a fix on what his face really looked like.
Mm-hmm.
True. Anyway, carry on, Debbie.
Okay, Dervish is going to rig the oxygen unit on Clancy's ship, and they're going to basically remote control it so that as they leave, because the V-ship's coming back, Cavan wants Clancy's ship to basically go up and detonate. I think he wants to detonate with the V-ship in
yeah,
range.
Yeah, wants him to join up.
Kirby's
with the
getting bored because he's just joined the video feed. I should have had a shave, really.
No, I have it.
Well, it says you have on here.
I better not still be on.
It says Kirby Gar Butler Sloan joined.
He wants to calm Dom down because he's going a bit bonkers. So Clancy talks to him about Maddie for a while. And then they try to work out how to get out. And Jamie's very relieved that it's not an audio lock.
So for 1 minute, they've just got trapped. They were trapped in a locker, sort of part of a space thingy, beacon. Then they're trapped in down the bottom of a great big room, and now they're trapped in a little room sort of hewn from solid rock.
Yeah.
They seem to spend a lot of time trying to escape from things.
Keep getting trapped. Yes,
I do like the escape plan involving the marbles and the candle wax on the floor. I did like that very much.
Yes,
yeah.
Got to use his favourite green marble. Yeah. And then Dom suddenly sort of regains some of his old fight and helps them to set fire to make some smoke to make the incompetent guards come in. And Zoe, Jamie, and Milo deal with them.
And they get to the ship quite easily. Milo's ship was very conveniently nearby.
For some reason, Jamie and Zoe aren't with them, so the doctor gets off just as the cavern activates the remote control on the ship, and the doctor becomes overwhelmed by the blast.
Poor Docky. You'll have to regenerate.
How could that not kill him?
Yeah, but he'll have to regenerate, won't he? Maybe that's why he regenerated in the next story. Oh, did I give something away there?
Doctor's all right. The doctor's pulse is a bit weak, but Jamie and Zoe carry him away. Dervish cuts off the oxygen to Clancy's ship, to the Lyrs, and basically we spend basically the first part of episode 6 counting down to them becoming unconscious.
Mm.
And then the doctor manages to save them by remote control.
Mm.
Which is pretty cool.
Another is lovely gadgets throws together.
Jamie punches out Dervish, and Dervish's gun shoots the remote control box, but he manages to fix it.
Yes.
And Dervish escapes, and then Madeline closes the main door, so Cavan puts charges in the atomic fuel store.
Yes.
And I've got written down here, enjoy the Big Bang.
What I thought was quite funny, a couple of instances, they used the same joke twice because it was quite a funny joke. One when the doctor electrocutes himself, and one when the doctor sort of makes Clancy electrocute his finger, which is both instances very amusing.
No, it's so good that...
What is it about, can I just ask, what is it about electric shocks, which is so amusing when other people get them, but when it's you, it's not.
Painful when you get one.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually.
But it is very much, Big Brother use every series, they have a feature in which they put electric shock suits on the contestants, and they have some sort of thing where somebody's manipulated into... just sort of this electrocuting parts of their body it is very amusing. But why do we find it amusing when it's happening to somebody else? But if it was us, we'd be going, carry on.
Milo did repeat another phrase twice.
He did? What was that?
If that don't beat jumping grasshoppers.
You say that
every day, though, Kirby.
Grasshoppers.
with a more convincing accent.
Yeah.
Well, the lore is that this actor played pretty fast and loose with his lines all the way through, and the rest of the cast had to kind of be ready because they never knew what he was really going to say.
Mm. Yes.
Something has just reminded me, actually, we had a couple of very pretty girls came in the shop during the week. Tony served them, and he's very nosy because they were nice-looking birds. Asked them, because they had American accents, where they were from. Nice-looking birds. They had American accents, so they said where they came from, and it was Alabama. I thought it was quite interesting. Anyway, carry on.
Southern Bells. Southern Bells. I was just waiting for any comments, but obviously not.
Very nice looking birds.
Too. I did get a little bit fed up with the amount of slapstick going on as Milo tries to sort himself out.
Oh, we'll never get fed up with slapstick. Slapstick.
We couldn't see the slapstick.
No, no, you could just hear it. Oh, I fell out of my chair. the V-ship requires a complicated landing technique, so it's not going to reach them in time to sort out the berms. And
the Liz can be landed very quickly.
Yeah, the Liz sort of comes back almost immediately. And Clancy comes and lets them out, and they go straight down to the atomic fuel place. And we basically clock watch with Madeline the whole time.
Yeah, that was a very strange scenario, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't a star date or anything like that. It was just a conventional clock.
It was, digital clock, and
how do you know that the people who did the reconstruction didn't do that? There was probably no actual picture of the clock.
Okay, thank you, Kirby. I don't know.
I have to be pedantic.
I don't know. So I have to be non-pedantic and tell you.
Warn is basically waiting to shoot down the pirate ship, but he's waiting for to be allowed to shoot the pirate ship because they're giving the Doctor time to sort everything out. The Doctor basically leaves it till the very last second to defuse the unit, and Warn's minnow fires at the dark, Cavan presses the button, but the Doctor has dismantled the detonator, so everything's fine. And then we go to one of those typical scenes of everybody laughing afterwards in the office.
Who's eating sweets?
Not me.
No, it's Blooming Kirby, because he's laughing.
They're not sweet.
Well,
they're rice crackers.
Do them further away from the microphone. Otherwise, I shall set Andy onto you, ask you some question. Like, let me think of what sort of question Andy might ask.
Cricket.
Something about quintessential English shows, perhaps. Over and over again, Kirby. Andy, are you up for that one? Anyway, moving on. Sorry, yeah, I interrupted you.
Well, there's not much to tell, really.
Oh, carry on.
Madeline's going to have to go back to home planet to stand trial for being a criminal.
Oh, that was a hint. Next story.
Yeah, apparently the general thinks it's not going to go too hard for her, though, bless her heart. And now they're off to find
a bit. All they're going to do is just change her appearance and send her to Earth.
They're going to find the bit of the beacon that is stuck out orbiting Lobos on Milo's ship, and Jamie is not pleased.
Is that it?
Yeah.
You're hired. Well done. Right, okay, and we'll move on. So we're going to talk about what we think of it now. This first time I actually remember taking any notice of the story. I can't remember listening to the audio. I thought I did listen to it, but I don't remember the story being like this. I don't think it's as bad as people have sort of said it is. It's probably not the best Pertwee. What's he called again? Troughton's story.
This is the most terrible Pertwee story.
Be quiet, Debbie. Or Andy, just be on standby.
Am I like your attack dog or something?
Yes, you are my attack dog. Thank you very much. It was too long. I will say that. It was far too long. The six episodes were difficult to...
Three
find.
Would have been enough for this.
Yeah,
one.
They would have difficult to find the urge to watch. Hence, I watched them very late in the week, and I was very busy anyway. But it wasn't as bad as people make it out to be. I think, you know, if this was actually brought back, I think it would be even better to watch. It was difficult. The reconstruction, although they put a lot of effort into the reconstruction, and they did a good job on it, but there really wasn't much of the actual story to watch. But on the whole, I quite enjoyed it. I thought there were some funny bits in there. I thought there were some good characters, some annoying characters. Clancy's accent was very annoying, but it was a good character. But on the whole, yeah, not too bad. It's okay. It was not meh, just slightly better than meh. Okay. Rick Stevens has just joined. Now, if you want to talk about viewers to a streaming podcast thingy, that's the sort of viewer you want to get, Mr. Rick Stevens. Yeah, that's it. Debbie, what did you think? This is the first time you've ever seen this story, so this is quite... Sorry, most of it. You need to watch episode 2, because you are not up to date. I'm talking to you. Hello?
Yes?
You need to watch episode 2.
I will.
Because if you don't watch it, you're not full Doctor Who'd up. You're missing an episode.
I'll go and watch it. I'll force my way through it.
Yes.
Can't miss anything.
Thank you.
I know, that's the point.
We're completionists here at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I will still do it because I always do if I've missed something. Or not.
Even Kirby would say that you'd have to watch that.
But
I haven't watched The Wheel of Space yet. So
Kirby, we're completionists. Yes. Go back and watch it or I'll set Mary onto you.
Okay.
I didn't enjoy it.
Is that it? Your synopsis,
I didn't enjoy it. It was way too long, I missed episode two, and I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of grief from that, from listeners and
viewers. No, because you're going to go back and watch it, aren't you?
Yes, I am going to go back and watch it. But don't bet on me winning, because it'll all be questions from episode two.
Oh, here we go. This is a tactic, everyone. Uh-huh. Or a tic-tac, depending on which way you want to look
at it. It was a nice little story. It should have been a little story. Could have been 2 to 3 episodes long. It didn't have to be 6. And I know that there's a lot of humour in Doctor Who, and you know, there always is, there always will be. But I found Clancy irritating, and the slapstick, audio slapstick, at any rate, was just appalling. And it was just like this episode. I was very disappointed. I watched it with an open heart and the open mind, you know. But I just by the end of it, I was just
you were
like,
traumatized.
It wasn't sinking in like all the others have. It just wouldn't sink into my consciousness. I was struggling.
But it was okay.
I was going back and pausing and rewinding to listen again, and I don't have to do that very often.
It wasn't Robert Holmes's best work.
No, it wasn't. It's not my favourite story by far.
It had potential, definitely.
No, I have to say it's one of the worst ones I've seen in the Troughton era.
But I will say, though, I'm just interested to know, this is obviously a pirate story, and there's a Doctor Who story which is also a pirate-based story, The Curse of the Black Spot. Kirby, we'll move on to you in a minute, but save back the question, which one's better? Carry on, Debbie.
No, that was it, basically.
That was it? Okay, then.
I was trying to find... It was probably sumptuous to watch, because the clips...
Sumptuous?
Yeah, because of all the models.
The models were great.
I love that sort of thing. The reconstruction just reused the same footage every time. And
yeah.
that's the point. It is a reconstruction. It wasn't the original. But I was just finding by the end, I was just like, couldn't they have like reversed it or something? I've just done something to make
it. It's quite interesting to note, Debbie, that the moment you said you didn't like it, we lost 2 viewers.
I'm not surprised.
Of our humongous list of 5. Mm-hmm. But, okay, thank you, Debbie, you naughty girl. Who should we go for?
My honest opinion, out of all the Troughton ones, that's my worst one. No. But I've found that, because I've not watched any of them, of his era, I found his era just brilliant. I've really enjoyed
it.
I love him as the Doctor.
We love you to bits, so we'll let you off not liking it.
Okay.
However, Andy, what did you think of it?
Well, I agree with you the fact it was too long. I think it could have certainly been done for a cut down to 4 episodes. However, I actually quite enjoyed it.
Hang on.
Yeah, I can't wait for this.
Hang on.
What happened? Go on. It's my lucky night tonight. It really is, you know. I'm going to attack dog. I'll get a ding and I get that as well. Lovely.
Yeah, I'll be adopting him. It's the mascot as well.
Yeah, this guy's amazing tonight, isn't it? I really enjoyed it. I know Clancy really is a total stereotype and caricature of the character, and also the Space Corps world as well. But I think it's actually is one that had you thinking, you know, where's it going to go? Because you've got a different mix. You've got the pirates, you've got the Doctor going on, you've got Clancy. You've got a lot of different things going on at the same time. And... yeah, I mean, moved on. The model work I thought was superb. I mean, it's disappointing that we actually only saw... We can only see one episode. But I saw the reconstruction, and the way they did that with the models and using that and actually animating the models in the reconstruction episodes was very good. And, yeah, I think there's a lot into it. I think Jamie and Zoe have things to do themselves in the story rather than just being, what do we do now, Doctor? Help us, Doctor. About to die, Doctor. I do think it's a bit bloodthirsty with the Doctor game killing people. I don't mention that before. But, I mean, say this is the worst Troughton. No, far worse.
No, what's that? Some sort of remix.
No, it's far worse than this. We've got the Dominating Red Bull.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
No, actually, no. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I watched it. I actually listened to it today when I was wandering around going to church and back a couple of times. And, yeah, a bit long, but not bad at all.
Well, there you go. Alan T. Butcher says, Debbie didn't understand it. It was too highbrow.
I'm sure we'll find out what he thought of it soon.
Oh, God. Yeah, who was winding him up? Was it Jeff? Yes, thanks. I'm going to get the fallout from that. Thank you very much.
That's on the next segment of the show. However, here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I came into this expecting a Pirates thing, like similar to the Curse of the Bad Blood. And was I surprised that it reminded me of not as well written, but it reminded me of several of Robert Heinlein's juvenile novels from the 50s with all the space opera plot and everything. And I really enjoyed it.
Oh, my God.
I wish that they would find the rest of it.
That was a sarcastic hallelujah, because I think Kirby seems to like all these stories.
I would really love to see the whole thing found, because it was fun. I liked Milo. He was humorous, and he was just like characters that I've read in space operas.
Debbie Melrose has joined the video feed just so she can nose up on what Alan T. Butcher is saying, just in case.
Actually, I'm looking up your nose at the moment.
But Debbie, Alan hasn't posted his feedback on this thread. You'll have to wait.
This was not too long. It was the right length. Now, I did have issues with the fact we're dealing with reconstruction, to the point where I gave up trying to watch the reconstructions and just simply listened to the last two episodes.
Is that Mary's phone?
Yes, it is.
So, bottom line, I loved it.
Did you? Yes, trouble is, Mary's on the phone and she's next. How are you going to do this?
I have people texting me because I watch the football and my Cleveland Browns, which started out so nice and strong and winning and all that in the first half, have totally messed things up.
Are you trying to send Kirby to sleep?
So I've got people texting me going, oh, guess what? It's like...
Before we move on to Mary, I have to mention a TV show that started on ITV a few weeks ago called Victoria, starring Jenna Coleman. Thoroughly enjoying it.
It's really good.
Not entirely good. Factually correct, but thoroughly enjoying it.
Yes, I've been enjoying it too. It's not even on here. I don't know how I saw it.
It was just interesting. Something you could put me off what I was going to say about it now. Oh, dear, because obviously they're filming the Jodie Dench and Eddie Izzard thing on the island at the moment. I just wonder if they're going to end up some point filming some of that series at Osborne. Be interesting to see, wouldn't it? But,
the interesting thing about it is all of the Doctor Who people in it. You wonder if the Doctor's got...
Well, you're talking about Sarah Jane Adventures with... Is it Tommy Smith who played
Yeah, Tommy Smith is in it.
And we've got Eve Miles who played Gwen.
Yeah, Eve Miles is in it.
There is a few.
We should go and camp out at Osborne House with the Doctor Who with our T-shirts on for a day.
Not just yet.
It just lets you know what a small circle the English actors are, that they're in everything.
Yeah, there's only 20 of them.
I'm seeing people I've seen in the last three things.
Yeah, we only have five.
Yeah, I believe you do.
But anyway, it's very good. It's very, very good. A good series. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, Rolf got fully enjoyed it. And Jenna is
I find it very
weird with her blue contact lenses
I don't enjoy her as Clara, and I just haven't avoided it.
But it's just I find myself watching it, and there's things, obviously, that have been a bit horrible to her behind the scenes. And I think, don't worry, she was queen for a long time. She was there to... No, I'm just thinking, it doesn't matter. They're going to get there. You know, all the people that are mean to her, she wins out in the end, you know. But other than that, I thought it's very well... done in with the costumes and the sets and everything like that. It's yeah. very, very watchable. I'm thoroughly
it makes
enjoying
you wonder
it.
How true to history it really is.
Yeah, obviously there's certain aspects which are true, but I think they have, you know, filled in a few gaps. But the thing is, Queen Victoria was a very, you know, thorough diarist, so.
Yes, but haven't they played up her romance with the Prime Minister?
They have, yeah. obviously, because that makes it more interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the problem is you've got a great story. Why mess it up?
Stop eating while podcasting. Otherwise...
I can't help it. I'm hungry.
So you're going to get one of these.
Yeah, but I wonder too, yeah, how much of an influence was he on her? And did she really, you know, feel that close to him?
He was definitely a very big influence on her, and I think a lot of people didn't like that. But a lot of the idea of her being romantically involved, shall we say, was fed up by her enemies and his enemies.
Mm. Anyway, thoroughly enjoyed it. Looking forward to continuing to watch this series and the next series. And Anity Butcher assures me that the next series they are going to film at Osborne. So me and you, Debbie, we're going to be annoying the crew. At Osborne, or maybe Jenna Coleman will come in to Marks and Spencer, but I've already met her, so we don't need her. So anyway, right, Mary, we haven't got your thoughts on this, have we? So stand by, everybody, because it is indeed Mary.
Yeah, well, I agree with Deb. It was too long, way too long. All that spaceship maneuvering, we could have done with maybe half of that, but we spent a lot of time watching.
It was a great part.
No, a lot of model work, you know, as they, you know, angled and blew things.
There's really not much else they could do with what they had, Mary, to be fair.
And I know that people say they love Troughton as a doctor, but I don't know so much in terms of loving him as a doctor, because we knew from the last episode or the last story that he wanted out. He didn't want to do Doctor Who anymore, and he kind of clowned his way around in the Seeds of Death. Well, now in this one, I think Robert Holmes was given the brief to not write much of anything for Troughton, because Troughton didn't want to have very much to do. So this is very much a Dr. Light episode. We didn't see much of him at all. And then the humor that he's famous for, we didn't see any of, really. That was all taken over by the Milo character. So this doctor in this story comes across just as pretty, I don't know, serious and being injured and hurt and dying and fainting and basically not being in the story very much. He really doesn't come through until the last episode, and then all of a sudden he's, you know, Mr. Smarty Pants, and he's doing everything. But a lot of the clever stuff that was originally written for him was given to Zoe, which is why she shined so much in this story.
Yeah.
And I'm not fond of the way he was treating Jamie through this story.
He was mean to Jamie.
He was mean to him. He was impatient, and he was irritated and dismissive. And
right up to the end as well, the last comment as well.
What was the last comment?
Well, when Jamie said he'd rather walk.
Oh, yeah.
And the doctor's last line is, you never know, you might have to.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't get that from that comment. I got that he said that because he thought that Clancy's ship was a bit dodgy.
Yes, I know, that's what he was saying, but it was the way he treated Jamie all the way through.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm.
As well.
Well, they'll have to change him then, won't they?
You're never happy, are you, Jamie? You know, that sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the Doctor and Jamie have really fallen out in this story. Mm. And I was curious about something. I mean, there's all this spacewalking stuff that we have to sit through while the pirates are like unhinging the beacon parts so that they can, you know, pull.
Are you saying they were unhinged?
Or they're put
boosters at the bottom
of things, but then they all have little rockets that are sending them all in the same direction. So I'm thinking, well, then why are they going to all that trouble? Why don't they just send the whole beacon to that, you know, to the pirates' base and take them apart there instead of this, you know, elaborate blowing apart there and yet still sending everything to the same location? And I got a kick out of the name Caven. As sadistic and nasty as he is, his name could have been Craven. But what I got a kick out of is his first name is Maurice.
It's Craven. Yeah.
How does someone who's that mean, wicked, and ugly have a first name of Maurice? That's a little bit
He was named that way by his parents. That's how.
Still, it's something to laugh about. And the acting, other than Milo, and maybe this is why the guy went so overboard, everybody else's delivery was so flat throughout that if I wasn't actually looking at the screen or seeing who was talking, I really didn't know at times who was talking.
Yeah, I had to keep rewinding and finding out.
Yeah, me too. So just like you, Debbie, I had to keep rewinding to say, who said that and what was that about? Because I kept losing track.
Yeah.
And General Hermack, that the actor, Jack May, I believe the character started out sounding like he was Russian. He was put this weird accent like he was Russian on, but then he kind of lost it partway through. And then he was British the rest of the story. And I'm thinking, okay, what was that about? But yeah, I mean, so I wasn't even impressed with, you know, I'd have to say the voice acting because I didn't see very much physical. Yeah. So,
except they didn't realize they were going to be doing voice acting.
And
very good, Kirby. That's got to be worth a... Not spoken. Oh, it does work. There we go.
Interesting that the doctor is pulling, you know, magnets on strings out of his pocket just so he could teach Jamie, you know, about the principle of magnetism. And he has drawing pins and tuning forks. I mean, this guy carries everything. But yeah, overall, no, didn't enjoy it. It's boring, kept losing track through it. I wished it was only maybe 3 episodes.
Oh, is that it? Oh,
that's it. I'm done.
Thank you, Mary.
What a difference.
Pardon?
A difference with our the way we all perceived it.
It was a bit, and you sound really weird as well. So let's move on. It's time for some bitter little feedback. Little bit, that's a word. Little bit of feedback.
Well, you haven't sent me any for me to read yet.
Haven't I? Oh,
no.
Dear. You're very, very previous there. Forget about the link that's popped up at the bottom of that text I've just sent you. This is the first bit. Just read it as it is. Actually, I'll tell you who it comes from first. It comes from Kenton Hall from Monkey Basket Films. Debbie will now read said message.
Hi, all at 20 Megabyte. My name is Kenton Hall, and I am the director of the recently released independent film called A Dozen Summers. Our Doctor Who connection, other than being a lifelong fan myself, is that we are lucky enough to have Colin Baker as a member of our cast. Basically, we just tried to get the word out. The film has been released on DVD in the UK, US and Canada, with further countries to come. Fandom has been incredibly supportive so far, and we've had a great time talking to a lot of Doctor Who podcasts about the film and about Colin. So really, which is letting you know that we're here. We hope you do get a chance to check out the film. And if we can be of help in any way, whether by talking to the podcast about the film, providing copies for competitions, or even just sharing the podcast online, please let us know. I've included a link to a post that details where you can find the film. I have also included a link to a recent interview Colin gave about the film. I know not being part of the main show, we won't be of interest to everyone, but I just wanted to thank you in advance for your support.
Don't read out the links, because I've sent the links to...
Kenton Hall Monkey Basket Films.
I've sent the links to the 20 Megabyte page, if anybody's interested in that. So thank you, Kenton, for your correspondence. Kirby's interested. He's already gone to find out how you buy it. Yeah. Right.
Yes, absolutely. I am interested in it.
I know you are. God, it was a given, Kirby, that you were going to be interested in that. So I don't know why you're saying that. No, we got this from Jeff Wobble.
I so enjoyed hanging out with Colin at ConGT. So
did he mention it?
No.
No, there you
go. He did not.
Okay.
Whoa. Right. Who's that from?
Jeff Waddle. Hello, anybody there?
Yeah, is it from Jeff Waddle? It sort of stops.
What do you mean it stops? It's from Jeff Waddle.
Oh, well, much better next, Tim.
Well, that's what he wrote.
Fair enough.
Oh, sorry, I missed the E when I did the copy. Carry on.
The Smugglers is a good black and white pirate story. This is not, unless you want to watch a 10-minute scene of a space cowboy with a stupid accent trying to make his breakfast. He's a ringer for Pa Boswell from Bread, by the way. There you go. That would mean nothing to those outside the UK. I've read the book and heard the audio, and they're just as dull as this. It's difficult to understand what's going on just because the characters are so poorly fleshed out. You don't care a jot about them. Oh well, much better next time.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. Oh, it's Jeff Waddle, everyone.
Yay!
Very well
put.
Very well
put.
Thank you,
Kurt. Hello, Twitter. What podcast is in Kurt?
He came in a bit early then, but it doesn't matter.
David Suchet is to be in the next series of Doctor Who.
Yes.
And most American podcasters don't know how to pronounce his name.
Well, David Suchet.
It is like Lanzarote all over again. Isabella's video bombing.
I show you where.
The Space Pirates by Robert Holmes. This is set in the fourth sector of the galaxy. Is this the Delta Quadrant from Star Trek Voyager?
Probably.
Probably.
There's a pre-credit sequence for the first episode. I did not know that idea went so far back.
No, I didn't realise that.
The beacons are each made of 1,600 tons of argonite. That seems absurd, given that it is the most expensive material in the galaxy. While I'm nitpicking, an oxygen cylinder would not do you much good in a confined space. It is the buildup of carbon dioxide that kills you. Milo burns his toast and cooks an egg. Where does he get the egg? The 11th Doctor asked a similar question in Asylum of the Daleks.
Yeah, and have you ever run across any of these old timers?
Only no TV westerns. He got me all riled up. We have a mining company. I meant to keep count of how many Doctor Who stories have miners, but I forgot.
Only the ones that are underage.
I didn't enjoy the story very much. The old timer was annoying. The TARDIS crew seemed to be bystanders. The metal the women wear on their heads is interesting. Are they wigs or helmets? Zoe has a new interesting outfit. Bye for now.
Oh, that was a strange, quiet bye for now with the louder bye for now. Thank you. That was Ian Kirk, everyone.
Thank you, Ian.
I've lost my close down button. Oh, there it is. Right then, what else we got here?
Stop the recording.
I think Deb's starting to get a bit worried.
Yeah, slightly.
Yeah. Quite rightly so, because here it comes.
Can you break the window?
No, if you watch the video, Andy, you see that every time
I do this,
the chair creaks.
I really cannot read, and I will be stupid coming across trying to read it.
Well, I'm not reading it.
It's your fault, Kirby. You should send it to Kirby.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
No.
Well, how do you pronounce that word, honestly?
Pulchridinus
or never met that.
The Adventures of Milo Clancy or Enemy of the Galaxy, Pilot of a Pilot.
Dear 20 megabyters, the Space Pirates, of course, a closely studied and beep panel of piratical contretemps out amid the nebulae, which plainly examines the relationship between the government, the policing authorities, the little guy corporations, and organized crime. Bureaucratic policeman General Hermack comes under a sharp criticism from our hero, Milo Clancy, for not having become interested in his difficulties or at all until the government's beacon is affected. Episode 2 is, of course, of supreme importance and is not to be missed. Brilliantly introducing Milo Clancy, who is one of the greatest characters ever in the programme, also introduces Madeline Seagree, who has considered herself as a ruthless business person, but eventually realises Cavan is operating well beyond a line she is not prepared to cross.
And she misses her judgy.
Thus, the Doctor is there to let some see the error of their ways and facilitate the little guy to be instrumental in obtaining justice. We also learn that dastardly engineer Eckersley, before he went off to Peladon, started out on the other side of the law, calling himself Major Warren of the Earth Space Corps. Yep. Whether Jamie let slip to him about the Ice Warriors, we can only speculate. Also, the redoubtable Hermack's voice went on to Middle-Earth as the holy noble King Theoden after a short-term contract working as maitre d' at the restaurant.
He didn't think he'd be able to pronounce that one.
What?
Maitre d'. Carry on.
Maitre d', of course I can, but I forgot that he was Theoden. I love him in that.
Carry on.
And finally, we learn that accents change somewhat in forthcoming centuries, thus sounding slightly unusual to our ears. Additional authenticity added to this production. Another stylish and very solid story from the impendingly ubiquitous Robert Holmes.
Not spelt right. He spelt that wrong. He spelled it wrong.
I read it right, though. No. The most prolific and successful of Doctor Who scribes. On a par with The Great Enemy of the World, full of incident and well-constructed twists, this story would perhaps benefit more than any other from being found. Brilliant model work of which we have only tantalising glimpses would be bound to impress. Next, we move on to a melancholy triumph in the Great War and other games in a Brighton amenity tip. Exit the Scarecrow and make way for the Fancy Pants Scarecrow.
Yeah, and there you were moaning. It was just one word you had a problem with.
Yeah.
So what are you going on about?
It's a long word.
It's a long word. I can't do long word.
It's it's ultra-tunerous.
Yeah.
There you go. Send it to Mary next time.
What was it, Mary?
Just edit that in. You will just edit that bit.
I didn't hear what she said. What did you say, Mary?
What? The word?
Yeah.
Yes. Pulchritude.
Pulchritudinous. There you go.
Yes. It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
It's been a long
Shut up, Kirby.
Heard the 1981
Right, should have had another drink. Right,
from Alan T. Butcher.
Andy.
Hello.
Who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the questioning section?
You.
Debbie.
Mm.
Who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the questioning section?
Kirby.
Who do you think is going? Yes. Who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the questioning section?
Master.
Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the question section?
Debbie.
Okay, and I'm going to go with...
Yourself.
No, I'm going to go with Kirby. Mind you, that might not be a very, very good idea, because if we can't understand what the hell he's saying, then I'm going to be in trouble.
I should be fine.
Oh, God.
I'm going to get really fast internet one day. Probably when we stop doing the podcast or something like that, maybe.
No, I think the schedule for...
It's scheduled for...
Scheduled.
Yeah, I heard the show word scheduled. It's that when it was scheduled for, we didn't quite get. God. Right then, first question goes to... Hang on, jokers. Yes, I forgot about adding the jokers. I'll just write those down. Hang on.
I've made a note to myself to try to remember the Joker.
Yeah, well, we've been doing with the Joker for over a year now, so it would be quite helpful for
Have
you
we?
To...
God.
Right, first question goes to Andy. Whose name was called out first in the episode?
I know.
Warn.
Oh, that's a point to me. Go on in, Kirby.
Dervish.
Dang.
Ding. Thank you.
Right. Debbie.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Debbie.
Yes.
What was the name of the posh commander?
You get
the
easy ones.
You got. Second, they're running out.
General
Hermack. Ooh, only just in time.
I didn't know we were going to start having a time thing. I was swallowing coffee.
Yeah, she's swallowing coffee.
Try and swallow coffee when it's other people's goes, Debbie.
Sorry.
All right, Kirby.
Master.
What commodity was the ship carrying?
Oh, what's that stuff called? I don't remember.
Can't understand what he's saying anyway.
I might know.
Oh, Argonite.
Shut up. Mary. Yeah, I didn't know you didn't play your Joker. Mary, your question is this. Who remarked that... shut up, everyone. Who remarked that Dervish was a good engineer?
I think I know.
Wow. Caven?
Andy.
Okay.
What was the name of the mustachioed radar operator?
I know.
I've got it. Ian.
Well, I can't remember his surname. His first name was Ian. No.
Anybody? Who said it first?
Debbie said it first.
Debbie. They got pet. Eventually got there, didn't we? It wasn't Ian at all. That was a funny thing about it.
Yeah, that's somebody else.
Yeah, where did Ian come from?
Oh my God, sorry. Somebody did send me a message. It's quite amusing message. Night, sorry, this is nothing to relate to Doctor Who. Did a pre-wedding shoot with a couple of days ago, and I'll just post a link to the photos for them. And they said, oh, they're really wonderful. And she just sent me this random message saying, do we do key rings?
Okay.
Do you?
No. The website might do them.
Oh, is it? Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, right, sorry, whose question is next? I've lost the plot.
That was me, just gone.
All right, so the next question, therefore, is Debbie.
Yes.
What was Ian's first name?
I know.
You are really such a blabbermouth, Debbie Melrose, aren't you? Beg your pardon? What did you say?
You said, what is Ian's first name? That is his first name.
All right, surname then. That's shut
why
your
I
face.
Said Major Ian Warren.
You know what I meant. You may be laughing, but that was the most obvious one to play a joker on I've ever seen in the whole history of this quiz.
We were distracted.
What is Ian's first name? Didn't have Ian That's why I said Major.
Shut your face, right there. Now, next guy was Debbie's. The Kirby.
Master.
How many minutes into the story do we first see the Doctor?
When you said, I believe I counted 14 minutes.
Did you now? You believe that, do you?
Yeah, fine.
Anybody?
17?
Oh, he was going to have a go, but Debbie jumped in and ripped the point away from him. What were you going to say then, Andy?
I was going to say 17.
No, I was wrong. It was 15 minutes.
Right minds.
15 minutes.
Mm. Hey, don't I get a point for getting...
Yeah, we used to get points for being one either side.
No. Also, Master...
No, I can't understand what you're saying, so your protestations are falling on deaf ears at the moment. Yes?
Hear me?
Just about.
Consider this. Our reconstructions may not have...
I'm not interested, because we're all watching the same reconstruction, so... and they've all got the same time codes on them. Right, they're moving on. Whose question was that? Was Kirby or something? Mary.
Yes.
I deserve that point.
No, you don't. Mary, what beacon were the Doctor, Jamie and Zoe trapped on?
I know.
Take the Joker.
Joker, Alpha 4.
Right, Andy.
Yep.
What hot beverage does Warn enjoy?
Coffee. Oh,
bugger,
she's a joker.
Hang on, the dog wants to come in. For God's sake. Oh, she can't get in through that door. Come here, oh, good job. Come here. Star. Oh, for God's sake. She came in and then turned around and went straight back out again, right?
So it's not
quite
the sweet song then. Right?
Was
that the cat
crept in
again?
Anyway, Debbie.
Yes.
Anyway, that's where it was. What song did we hear Clancy sing prior to the beginning of his breakfast?
That was my quote. I can't remember what she sung. Was it Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
I love the way she tries to make out that she couldn't remember it. And then says exactly the right answer.
Just playing with us. I had Waltzing Matilda in my head.
Yeah, right. Kirby.
Master.
What did Clancy use to restore the lights?
I know.
A spanner.
Another chance goes begging.
Joker.
Mary.
Yes.
What was Clancy's code?
LIS-79. Yes.
I didn't hear the question. That's weird.
Well, listen next time. Right then, the current scores are, in last place with 2 points, it's Andy. Yay. In fourth place, 4 points, it's me. In third place, with 5 points, it's Kirby. Second place with 7 points is Debbie. And then the lead with 8 points is Mary.
Oh my gosh, really?
Because yes. She's the only one who's actually played a Joker. Right, Andy.
Okay.
Where was Clancy a legend?
In his own mind.
I know.
No, got me completely. No.
Go on then, Kirby.
Rage your magnum.
Yeah.
Debbie?
Yes?
What ship did follow... Hey?
What?
Oh, yeah, what ship did... Hey, it doesn't make sense. The question I wrote...
You wrote
what,
it.
That's just what the question says. What ship did follow Clancy in? Maybe it should say, what ship did Clancy follow in? Or ship. Follow Clancy, I don't know. Anybody gets this one, they get double points. I don't even know the question. Anybody?
Another V-ship?
I'll carry on. I'll skip that question. The answer was XX1.
It's a C-class fighter. That's
no, XX1 was the answer for some reason. Oh, that's a really weird question. Who was that question originally for?
Me.
Right, I'll do another one. All right. What is glycerol trinitrate? Glycerol trinitrate. What is it, Debbie?
Well, this is obviously from the second one.
Is it?
I don't know. Is it a bomb?
Oh, we're going to give you that one. Is it a bomb? I'll give you that. It's an explosive, but that's near enough to correct.
A bomb, yeah.
All right. Kirby. How long ago did Madeleine, off to buy Clancy? Buy a Clancy. Oh, to go. How long did Madeleine go off to buy Clancy out?
I don't know.
Joker. 2 years.
Could barely hear that, so I'll give you a very faint ding, just to sort of.
Sorry.
Right, Mary. It was 2 years. If listeners didn't hear that, the answer was 2 years.
It's
Mary.
2 years. Yes.
How did Clancy describe Jamie, Zoe, and the Doctor?
Oh, that's one of my quotes.
Just a second here. Because I thought I wrote it down.
Oh dear.
I need to close my quotes.
I take it you know the answer then, Kirby?
I didn't write it down, so.
Need to find it.
Right then, go on in, Kirby.
Need to find it. Hey, oh yeah, a girl in a nutcase.
I think Kirby said everyone, even though we couldn't understand a word.
A girl in a nutcase.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So you can say it many times as you like. It's still
You're getting too much notes like me. I'm trying to pull mine
in. I have it in the middle of a whole bunch of other things I wrote, so it's like, oh, dear.
Master?
Yes?
Master, do you hear me?
Yes.
Vaguely. Barely.
I don't know what's going on.
I will say that Anne-Marie Blackall likes the video. Anne-Marie Blackall has just liked this video. Doesn't point out that she's watching it. Oh, maybe she is. It's just gone up from 3 to 4. Now, the 3 to 4 is interesting. Half of the people actually on that feed are people actually watching the show at the moment. Never mind. All right. Where do we get up to? Who was that last question for?
That was my question.
And then
so
Kirby answered it. So, therefore, this is a score update then. All right. Score update. In last place with 2 points, it's Andy.
Yay.
Fourth place with 6 points is me. In third place with 8 points is Mary. In second place with 9 points is Debbie. In the lead with 11 points it's Kirby. This is Andy's question. Who was the soft-faced puppy from the Space Corps according to Clancy?
Warn.
You should have done your job.
Oh. Yeah, you're right.
Right, next question goes to Debbie.
Yep.
Why did the Doctor tell Jamie to use willpower?
Because he was going to be sick.
Another chance of a Joker goes begging. Kirby.
I use mine.
Kirby.
What, willpower?
Master. Right.
What planet is the headquarters of the Asigri Mining Corporation?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, the same as you, but what planet is...
By the way, when I first heard them speaking of it, I thought they were saying tar.
Well, that's because you're American. Everything's got an R.
Last I checked, I'm American. Yeah.
Mary.
Yes.
What is Madeleine's company's fastest freighter? I'm going to play my joker on this one.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, against me, that's easy.
I think I might know that one.
I think I know. Being
shut up. Yeah. Oh, Mary.
Is it the beta dart?
Oh, bugger.
Yes. Oh. Yay!
I think someone made a mention of that earlier.
Right, Andy.
Yep.
Yeah, that was me.
Where is the pirate's base, according to Hermac?
I know.
Oh, it's Lobis or something like that.
No, I'll give you that, Lobos. Again, another chance of a joker goes begging. Debbie. Debbie.
Yes.
What was the Doctor's cliffhanging exclamation ending in episode 3?
Oh, I know.
Oh, my word. Oh.
Another chance of a joker goes begging. Kirby.
Master.
What did the Doctor pull out of his pocket?
Drying pins.
Say when.
Yeah.
Mary.
Well, we're talking about the beginning of episode 4. So,
Mary.
Yes.
What part of Sauber's body was injured?
Shoulder. And then we get the magic water again.
Yeah, magic water.
Right, score update.
Good old magic water.
Score update. Hang on, what's...
I love the fact that's still viable. It's like a mum kiss, isn't it? You know,
Anne-Marie Blackwell says she's watching.
Oh, hello.
And...
Hello.
Alan T. Butcher says, at least I'm half watching, because Poldark is on. Right, so I have score update. I got distracted then. In last place with 6 points, or joint last place with 6 points each, it's me and Andy. In third place with... 13 points is Debbie, second place with 14 points is Mary, in the lead with 15 points it's Kirby. And this is Andy's question.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Andy, yeah. What did the Doctor find in the wall with his stethoscope?
I know.
Oh, yeah, and I know too.
It was the...
I know, but I'm too late.
Hang on, let him say the answer.
The door opening mechanism.
Not quite what we're looking for. Love the way you said that, but wrong. Yeah. Anybody? Oh, sorry. Who said? Oh, Debbie said I know first.
She said it first.
Yeah. There is an audio lock.
Right, Debbie, your question.
Yes.
What was Zoe not sure how it worked?
I know.
Oh, the Joker candle.
Yay!
That puts a whole new look on the scores. Kirby.
Oh, master.
What did Madeleine say she would not be party to?
Oh, yeah.
She kept saying it, not be party to murder.
To murder! Yes.
Murder.
I do not
murder.
Put that word in for murder. Americans' benefits.
I say it, it's American.
Murder.
Murder.
It's the way Scots people say it, that's funny.
Murder. Mordor.
And I also love the way the Scots take the mickey out of themselves of the way they say that particular word. Right then, Mary.
Yes.
How long after blast off did Cavan want the ship to blow up? Or Cavan, or whatever he's bloody well called.
Ten minutes.
God for that. Oh, Tom, I got some points. Go on in, Andy.
60 seconds.
Tom, I got some more points. I should have played my joker on that question. No, it was 5 minutes. Sure. 5 minutes.
Oh. No, that was the oxygen unit.
Be quiet.
Blow up.
Be quiet. It was 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was never set to blow up. It was just set to...
Be quiet. Andy.
Yep.
Was that your question last time? Was it Mary's? It was Mary.
Yeah, Mary's.
Right, so this is your question then. What was Dervish qualified in? It's gone very quiet.
He's in engineering.
Oh, I'll give you a point in that. Oh, no, I'll give you both points because I'm feeling generous. It was astro engineering, but the word engineering is a key part of that answer.
Master?
Yes.
Master?
Yes.
Would you, if Dervish rotates very quickly, is he a whirling Dervish?
I knew that was coming, and I knew it was
Debbie.
Yes.
What was Hermac's radio name?
V-Master.
Kirby.
Master.
How thick was the steel of the door grill to a Seagreaves study?
Oh, it was 3 inches. 3 inches, yes.
Mary.
Uh-huh.
What was a Seagreaves' first name?
I know.
Yeah, we all know that one.
Yeah, I finally get an easy one.
Well, there's 3 questions left, and there's 4 of you, so obviously there'll be 3 for all questions, so therefore I better give a score update. In last place with 8 points, it's still to pay as Joker, so that could be beneficial to me, is Andy. And bear in mind, like I say, 3 questions left.
You haven't played your Joker.
No, I have. And oh, yeah. Mary got the points, basically. Debbie, sorry, shut up. Let me do the scores. In last place with 8 points, it's Andy. In 4th place with 9 points, it's me. In 3rd place with 16 points, it's Mary. In 2nd place with 19 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 20 points, it's Debbie. 3 free-for-all questions are as follows. Who broke the vase over a guard's head? Go on then, Debbie.
Zoe.
How long did Caven or Cavan say Madeleine had left?
I think I know.
Well, go on then, Andy.
40 minutes.
It was, but you should have played your Joker.
I said Joker.
Did he say Joker, everyone?
Oh, I didn't hear it. I didn't hear him say Joker.
Give him the Joker.
Give him the Joker.
I said Joker.
Joker. I shouldn't, but I will. Right, and last question is this. What time did Hermac order Warn to lock onto an interceptor? And I got a new set of teeth. What time did Hermac order Warn to lock onto an interceptor course? There was a time that showed on the clock.
I think I won it.
Go on then, Andy.
11:54.
Oh, no. This is where he didn't play a Joker on that one. All right, anybody else?
11:25.
Let's just throw some random times
it was
in.
11:40.
11:42 was the time.
Okay.
All right, at this stage, we should play the Vision on Gallery music while I try and work out the scores. No, I meant to play it in a pleasant sort of way that sounds quite nice.
I love you too.
Right then, let's have a look. This is very complicated. I don't know how I've managed this. Right. Carry on, I'm still working out the scores at the moment. Right, okay, now I've worked out the scores, we can carry on. Okay, the final scores after... so we do with the current scores. Current scores before we do the final wager. In last place, with 11 points, it's me. In 4th place with 12 points is Andy. In 2nd place, in 3rd place, sorry, with 22 points. I've lost the plot. Sorry, can I start again? Right, in last place with 11 points is me. In 4th place with 12 points is Andy. In 3rd place with 16 points is Mary. In 2nd place with 19 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 22 points, it's Debbie. Right, so Andy put his bets on me. And doesn't change his score. Debbie put her bets on Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't change her score.
Bang.
Kirby put his bets on me. Doesn't change his score.
Yeah, I would have gone with Debbie, but because she missed seeing episode 2.
I told you it was a ruse. She says stuff like that. It's tactical.
No, it's true, though.
It wasn't, though, was it?
Well, go ahead with the rest of the scores.
Mary chose Debbie and doubles the score. I chose Kirby, but I wasn't that far off, was I, really? So the final scores are, in last place with 11 points me, in 4th place with 12 points Andy, in 3rd place with 19 points Kirby, in 2nd place with 22 points is Debbie, and the winner this week with 32 points, it's Mary!
Yay!
You
ever won a quiz? Yeah, you have.
Have I?
Yeah, you've won before.
Won a quiz, yeah,
I'll get you one.
At the very least, do I get a scarf?
Andy, Kirby will send you his.
Andy, you got it next week.
No, we're not doing one next week, though, are we?
No, well, the next time then.
Yeah, War Games, my God.
You should set up a new rule.
Pardon me.
Have the rotating scarf. Whoever wins that week's quiz, the last winner has
yeah,
to.
Yeah, how much of that cost on postage?
That'd be brilliant.
Well, the only way we could do that is have some sort of graphic the 20 megabyte quiz winner actually has on their Facebook page.
Yeah, like is it Pinterest or Snapchat where they have the weird things on the your face? Yeah.
Quiz champion for the week or something like that. Anyway.
Were you just complaining about the number of episodes for the War Games?
Ten episodes.
Yes, do not worry about it.
We've got 2 weeks out.
Moves quickly.
No,
I've seen it. I've got the DVD of it. I've watched it before.
It's lovely. I love it.
Anyway, we'll talk about whether we like it or not next week. All right, look at Doctor Who News.
The Fortnite.
You know what I meant. Gosh, like I'm like Doctor Who fans. Overly pedantic. Right. Doctor Who News. I don't know where we got up to last time. There's a book called by Justin Richards and George Mann called The Whoniverse. Did we talk about that?
Think so, not sure.
Okay, well, thanks, Deb. the class tie-in novels are to be released alongside the series premiere in October. Are we going to watch that?
No.
I don't know, might watch it. It's a Doctor Who-ish, isn't it?
Isla might want to watch it.
I might have to watch it for fandom reasons. Though, where are I going to find the time? Well, they're only half an hour. They should be fairly watchable. BBC reveal midnight announcement. The BBC have posted the teaser for the forthcoming announcement at midnight tonight via their Facebook page. Something is materialising very soon, but back at midnight time to find out. Wonder what that was all about. Anybody?
That was the, wasn't it, Power of the Daleks being released.
What is it then? What about Power of the Daleks?
Didn't they reconstruct it or something and it's been released in some time?
Is it a cartoony thing?
Yeah.
Oh, so how do we get to see this?
You buy it.
Is it on DVD?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I'll have to buy it then. I thought they weren't doing any more animations.
Where's Kirby?
Okay. Oh, I didn't realize I had muted myself.
You donut.
No. No, it's not available yet. It comes out in November. It's going to be put online. Yes, you will be able to buy it eventually. But it's not out yet.
It's coming, though.
Let me find the information.
It's probably on the page I'm looking at the moment. But
yeah, it's on the page you're looking at the moment, except I'm not down that far.
Yeah, it just says it's one of the Doctor's most celebrated adventures, and yet no complete film recordings of The Power of the Daleks are known to have survived. The master negatives were destroyed in an archive purge in 1974. I can't understand what you're saying, Kirby. So, BBC Worldwide, BBC America have announced that a brand new black and white animation based on the audio recordings of the programme using the original cast, surviving photographs and film clips will be released via the BBC Store 50 years to the minute after its own UK broadcast on BBC One, with the television premiere on BBC America taking place a week later. So it's actually going to be shown on TV in BBC America, so that's amazing. Yeah. 6 half-hour episodes feature, that's 25 minutes, feature the regeneration, or as it was then called, renewal, of the first Doctor, William Hartnell, into the second Doctor, Patrick Troughton, as the Time Lord.
November 5th, and then November 12th for our viewing of it.
Yeah, so that's really quite exciting. I'm quite looking forward to seeing
that. Yes, how do you not know about that?
Because I'm busy.
Yes, oh. Lives.
I have a life. It's all Doctor Who.
Yes, but I have two full-time jobs. In fact, in some ways, I have 3 full-time jobs because I've got to do blimmin' editing for most of the time. I'm 7 weddings behind, as I did explain earlier on, and you understand the reason.
You're also a dad.
Oh, I haven't got time for kids. Alicia went and bought herself a virtually brand-new car.
Thank you, Debbie. I'm glad somebody picked you up.
Excuse me. Alicia went and bought herself a virtual brand new car, paying £130 a month for the blimmin' thing. Didn't think of what might be happening over the next 5 years. Possibly. She's got to pay for the blimmin' thing, or whether she's got a job that's going to be, she's still going to have in 5 years' time. Yes.
Do virtual cars run on virtual highways?
Hey.
You said a virtually new car.
Well, I say virtually new because it's a year old. Ford KA.
I know what you meant. Anyway, I was making a joke, sir.
Big Finish. Well, it's annoying. Not the joke. Her, the fact that she's squandering money on cars.
Sorry, I'm going to have to drop out. I'm going to go see Storm and get a bed. So I'll see you all in a fortnight's time.
It's the audio that drops out.
Right. Bye, Andy.
Night, folks.
Bye. Anyway,
bye.
The Lives of Captain Jack is a Big Finish production featuring Captain Jack Harness, a new series coming in June 2017. I'm sure that John Barrowman's over the moon that he's actually got to continue playing Captain Jack in some format. Doctor Who the movie on Blu-ray. I must buy that. When's it out? Did it say when it's out?
No, I don't. I think there must be a date somewhere, but I can't see one.
Yeah, well, when it comes out, I'm having that, because I'd love to see that in HD. Moffat, I'm not blocking Torchwood Return. Well, you can't. You're no longer the producer of Doctor Who, essentially.
if he just came back as a writer every now and again, his was my favourite episode.
And there's a teaser trailer that's come out for Class, which was released Thursday the 15th of September. I haven't watched that particular trailer yet. But if you want to go and see it, you can have a look at DoctorWhoNews.net. Debbie is now going to talk about sponsorship.
Pardon?
I said Debbie is now going to talk about sponsorship.
In what manner?
Oh, good grief. I'll do it. Right.
The British with a Scottish accent.
Well, I thought that Kirby should probably big up Lavazzi
time. No, I'm not talking about Lavazzi. We're going on to whowon.co.uk. Who have some coming soon. Shut up. The 2017 Doctor Who Annual.
Yay!
With associate of the show, Peter Capaldi. I mean, I want to say associate of the show. He had his picture taken with me and Debbie, so essentially that makes him an associate of the show.
Associate.
And we were both wearing our 20 megabyte t-shirts in the photo. Essentially, he's advertising.
I just really object
by proxy.
They had white backgrounds, because people are saying to me, you weren't really there, you were just photoshopped in. It's like, no. We were there. We've got a video image of us stood in line waiting to go. Yeah.
What the listeners don't actually know is that I was there. We had to photoshop Debbie into the picture.
white background does make you all look photoshopped.
It does, doesn't it?
It's only because there's an actual gap between us. But if you look at the one of me, Deb, and Isabella with it, that doesn't look photoshopped, because we're all in together, aren't we? If I remember rightly. But yeah, poor Deb. But you know you were there, mate.
I know I was there. I had a great time.
Oh, bless her. I'll give you a cuddle later. Right then. So Idris of
TARDIS bowls. I really want a TARDIS bowl.
What has that got to do with Peter Capaldi? It's a funny thing you said. You say about you being sort of photoshopped in, and Isabella has a picture that she had, with Peter Capaldi, the real one, and she actually had herself green screened into a picture with him as well. So that's quite amusing. Pointless as well, to be fair. So Age of Endurance by Nick Wallace is a Big Finish production, first Doctor story, Broken, Torchwood story, the front cover has Yanto and Jack. Well, looks like they're having a bit of a slow dance. Casualties of Time by Nicholas Briggs, fourth Doctor story with Lala Ward in it as well, looks nice. And Classic Doctor's New Monsters, is that a CD?
It looks like it.
It looks like some sort of...
It is. It's a Big Finish CD.
Ooh, cool. Fiesta of the Damned, Guy Adams. It's a seventh Doctor story. So it's a very small icon that's very difficult to see. Maker of Demons.
That seventh Doctor as well.
Seventh Doctor story. You get a TARDIS bowl. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned this, Debbie. £5.99. And the Time Meddler audio book, but lots of things available on CD. And now, rather segues us nicely from audiobooks to Sue Audible, funny enough.
audible.co.uk/20mb. And we have been bigging these guys up for weeks and weeks now, and I'm hoping somebody who listens has decided to join via our /20MB. And you get free trial for 30 days.
Yes.
And you pay about £8 a month, and you get one credit each month, and then you can use that on any of their 200,000 plus titles and save up to 70%.
Sounds like a good deal to me.
And we listen to a lot of audiobooks in our household, so yeah.
Thank you very much. Lavazzi.co.uk have Doctor Who and Star Trek items on their list of fantastic garments.
Have you seen the fourth Doctor lapel pin that's come out on Lavazzi?
No, where is that then? Ooh!
Yeah, if you scroll down.
£24.99. That's nice. Why hasn't he told me about this?
Now I know.
Usually the first person that gets informed about these new things is me, because Meninda and me and you know,
they're like that. They are, yeah.
Yeah, I've managed to get her a job at the next Doctor Who official Doctor Who convention thingamajig.
So, that'd be so
me
cool.
And Meninda like that. That is really nice, isn't it? I might have to get one of them.
Yeah, that's
be sure to remind him that he's my favourite of our sponsors.
Yes. I might have to just buy one of them.
I'm so looking forward to it because it's getting cold again. I've been eyeing up my TARDIS scarf.
Hey, do you know what, Deb? I reckon this is made by the same company who do my cat thing.
I think so.
I think they are. It's exactly the same box. Abbey Shop. Yeah, it's made by the same people. I nearly bought one of these at the con we went to, where I actually got the cat badge.
Yeah, it's
Yeah, very nice. And get that, £24.99 from
lavazi.co.uk.
Really nice. Okay. We've actually managed to get to the end of the episode. What time is it? Good Lord. I should be doing other things. I should be getting my shoes on, going out and finding Pokemon. But no, I'm sat here doing a podcast. In 2 weeks' time, everybody, we will have got through 10 episodes of the War Games, and that will therefore complete the journey of that we've been taking through the Patrick Troughton era of Doctor Who, which I think began around January, I think.
I'm not sure.
January, February, March.
Yeah, you started the new year with a new journey. Yeah.
Come to the end, and we move into the colour era of Doctor Who, of which there was the old scattering of black and white stories because we lost them. But they recolorized some of them. So I'll be interested to see how many of them are.
Yeah, my DVD has the colorization.
Yeah, I think I have. I'm not 100% sure, but we'll find out through our journey through John Pertwee.
Except that I think that's, well, never mind.
You think never that, mind. Well, never mind. Okay. So we end Patrick Troughton. We'll probably have to have a little bit of a summarisation of that era. I reckon it's going to be a fairly long episode, War Games, but we'll have to try and gloss through some of the episodes a bit quicker than we normally do. God knows how I'm going to do a quiz. We might have a run of... it's going to be a quiz-a-thon.
You're breaking up, but I believe you're that not, we did War Games breaking
up. I can assure you I'm not breaking up.
Yeah,
we did what?
Didn't we do War Games?
I don't know.
Yeah, we did War Games once. We did it before.
Well, I doubt I've still got those
questions. I never have.
I doubt I've still got those questions because I find it difficult enough finding questions or stories that we've done more recently, so I might have to redo them. Poor old me. But, yeah, it's our next mission.
You could go
mission.
Back to the old episode and listen to the questions.
Be quiet.
And, right?
It's our next mission. So you've got 2 weeks, listeners. You've got 2 weeks, co-presenters, to watch, absorb, and learn about the War Games.
Easy.
So until then, God knows what's going to happen to me. Will I have finished doing that wedding video by 2 weeks' time?
When I first watched War Games, it took me two nights.
It's
so compelling.
When the previous time I watched it took me one day, because like I said, Alicia wanted to watch the whole thing in one day, which she achieved.
Oh, back when she used to watch Doctor Who?
Well, yeah, when she used to watch Doctor Who and when I had time. Right, so in 2 weeks' time, yeah, I think I'm still here. That's the 2nd of October.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Deb's doing, we have it written down.
Deb's doing a bridal show in Newport, but that's a matter. I'll still be at work that day. And then the following week, I'll be at, hopefully, the cons, the Dimensions Con in Newcastle.
But, so does that mean we'll skip 2 weeks?
I've been reading the small print about that. It says that you sent me an email saying if I want to interview any of the guests, I have to get permission off him to interview them. But it doesn't say I couldn't do that. But I'm supposed to be doing this meet and greet thing.
Sorry to interrupt, but I've just noticed that your picture with Eddie Izzard is by the ladies.
No, I think he did that deliberately.
Aisle.
I think he did that deliberately.
I was trying to figure out what that was behind
them. Yeah. He moved the camera around so that was deliberately in the background, but that's Eddie Izzard for
deliberately,
you.
Deliberately, yes.
Yeah. Very amusing.
I'm saving that picture.
No, well, careful, because I'll get told off by Marks and Spencer for.
I'm not going to share it. I'm saving it.
Okay, thank you. What was I talking about? Oh, yes. A second. Yeah, so also with the con, I'm supposed to be doing like a celebrity meal thing, so where I actually go to a meal and the celebrities are around, although there will be a limited amount of celebrities because we've got different celebrities on each night and the meal's on the Saturday, so I think Colin's supposed to be doing the Saturday one. And on the Friday when it launches, the people with the gold tickets are supposed to do some sort of meet and greet thing with the celebs that are in on the Friday night. So be interesting to see what happens. Something I've never really experienced before, this sort of non-official convention. But I'm looking forward to it immensely.
Yeah.
And I'll probably do some live streaming from it as well.
Cool.
So when do we want to schedule the next episode recording, the week after that?
Do you really want to go that far ahead?
Yeah.
Well, it'll probably be the 16th of October, wouldn't it? But I'll probably put a show out.
Oh, yeah, we already did. We already scheduled it for that day.
I'll probably put a show out before then anyway, in relation to the Newcastle thing. So that's Dimensions 2016 in Newcastle, everybody. So
you're going to take some calls, dude?
If you go into Newcastle? That con, say hello, because I'll be wearing 20 megabyte stuff. Deb's actually told me to buy some 20 megabyte t-shirts, so I've got a fresh t-shirt for every day.
I want a black one.
Not you.
I know, but I said I wanted one.
If you're going to buy others, buy what for her one.
Yes, anyway. So thank you for... And we've got still people... We've got four people that are still watching. Two of them. One of them's me. One of them's Kirby. And one's Debbie. So we've got nobody
watching. I'm not watching. I don't know why you say I'm watching.
I'm not watching.
I'm not watching.
Okay. Well, anyway.
We have fun.
Thanks for watching. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Be quiet. I'm saying goodbye to people. Be quiet. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you in two. Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
All right, I think we're done. I'm just ending live video now. Now I've got to post it. Post now, live video.
Does this mean that I remember that used to cut off after an hour. Is it no longer doing that?
An hour and a half, wasn't it?
No, it doesn't. No. It's not cutting off at all.
It was an hour and a half when it first started.
Now it carries on. Jeffrey Williams just commented after we finished recording now. What's he said? I'm curious to see what he says. I'm still watching those. Sorry, Jeffrey.
Yeah, sorry, we're done.
I think there were some comments that under my request or comments that we didn't read. Oh, well.
Were there?
Yeah.
Yeah, there were, yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, we'll do that as a postscript then. Right then, so on then, Kirby, you donut. You could have mentioned that earlier. Oh, let's mention it when we say goodbye.
I was avoiding looking at Facebook because every time I bring up a new web page, it causes audio issues.
Yep.
Right. Backtracking somewhat. God grief. Where are these comments then? Let's see what they said. Well done, Kirby. So you could have done this while during the feedback feature of the show, which would be quite useful. Alan T. Butcher says, one of the greats. I think he's being sarcastic. Kirby Bartlett Sloan says, that's your feedback? Oh dear, well he did give us
this
more.
This is where he wound him up.
Oh, right.
I expected something a little more complex.
Yeah.
Jeff Waddle says, I await with bated breath how the breaking up of the ships by the pirates is clearly a metaphor for the breaking up of the European Union from a non-liberal viewpoint or something.
Neoliberal.
Neoliberal, you pedants. Alan T. Butcher, I think you are reading things into it that are not there. I expect it will become clear tomorrow. And then he says, I shall dissent. What's that?
Pulchritudinous.
Oh, yeah. Dissent. Is that the right word?
Pulchritudinous.
Pulchritudinous. Annal of piratical con... Oh, whatever that says.
Contretemps.
Yeah. And nebulae. Yeah, Jeff Waddle, you're not touching my ass. That's for sure. Debbie Melrose, oh, she's lovely, isn't she? Alan T. Butcher, oh dear.
Yeah. Jeff Waddle, I knew what was going to come.
Anal, you said. Alan T. Butcher, well, it's a tale in which they got into the bottom of the mystery in the end. Mark Page, Space Pirates. It was a thing, not much of a thing, but a thing all the same. Jeff Waddle says, it's not PA from the breed making an egg.
No, it's got the paw.
Paw from the breed making the egg for 10 minutes. That's all I can remember. And the bloke from the police that got fed up and he went off his nut and ran away to Peladon. When he came up with a scheme to make money from those damn ice warriors. Oh yeah, I know what he's talking about. Mark Page. Dang those newfangled solar toasters. Jeff Waddle, yep. Crap on one side, burnt on the other from the heat of 1,000 suns. Yeah, Mark Page. I think that's what happened to episodes 1 and a 3-6 of this serial. They got burnt with the heat of 1,000. Oh, Debbie Melrose just posted something that made it jump up, and I've lost where I was now.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks, Debbie Melrose. Oh, yeah, just heat of 1,000 suns. Okay, Ian Kirk says 1 minute 55 seconds. David Sushi.
That's his feedback.
That's his audio feedback.
Ian Burge. Yeah. Doctor Writer's Room. Head writer. Okay, chaps, we've got another Who to Write. And no, Terry is still playing with his Daleks in his own. On his own, sorry. Any ideas? Writers look around room blankly. Long pause. Oh, this is quite a long thing. Head writer, right. Cobble something together with pirates. Space pirates is the last missing story in this podcast linear episode journey. So, last chance in the light of the Power of the Daleks news. What do we all think about missing episodes? Omni rumours and animation. Thank you for interrupting a word I was pronouncing correctly. Ian Kirk. That picture of Zoe and Jamie looks like space pilots.
Pilates.
All right, sorry. Yeah. Kirby slot look blown. My screen while we record. Yeah, that's an audio thing. And then there's a picture of me with Eddie Izzard. All right, we've covered it now. Can I go to bed?
Yeah.
Or no, well, I'm going
to go. Did you record what you just read?
Yes.
Okay. You didn't write over a memory card and erase the old.
What a card. Memory card.
I'm amazed that you were able to recover those images.
Yeah.
What images?
Well, you said that from you had erased, then you had to go in and recover them.
No, but the videos, not images. It's even worse.
Oh, be pedantic, won't you?
Alan T. Butcher just asked that I join Extreme Pedantry. I have accepted. I have authorized his request.
Oh, so glad I've got Tuesday off. Right then, yeah, that's it.
Bye bye. Yay.
Have we got to, you should have said we could have recorded something. Just me and you, Deb.
You can still if you like.
I'm joking. I've got I'm going to be editing all day.
All right.
That's it then.
Right, Doctor Who Podcast is an apvservices.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.